Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Deacon.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, the 21st of June. I think this is the third Saturday in the month of June. We give God thanks that we are able to come together in a format like this. We want to invoke the holy presence of God among us, because without him, we can do nothing. Even in a wildest dream, without him, you can do nothing. He's the one that controls the very breath, the very air that we breathe. We take it not for granted. God is among his people. In the book of Revelation, the revelator John saw him moving among the candlesticks. You know, the candlesticks represent the church, represent us, the ecclesia, the called out. And John the revelator saw Christ moving among the candlesticks. So significant that we are referred to as the candlesticks, the light of the world. He called us to be the light of the world. And therefore, he tells us that we're not to let our light be hid under the bushel. It must let it so shine bright, brighter and brighter each day. Amen. So with that, I want to welcome you all and give God thanks. Give God thanks for you. Give God thanks for the good times and the bad times that you may experience in your life up to this stage, because the bad times are the times that we actually learn something, survival skills through Christ. Amen. So we will not despise the bad times. We want all good times, yes, but sometimes the good times make us so complacent that make us no good for even ourselves, much less Christ. You know, when we have too much good times, it make us not even want to pray or to seek his face. It's like we just turn to our own understanding there and there, then and there. Amen. This evening we're going to switch things up a bit from January 1st up to last week. We were in the Old Testament. You know, we had fun in it. We have learned so much. Is a vast amount of knowledge we have obtained going through the Old Test, the first books, the first set of books, the Pentateuch, you know, in the Old Testament. We have learned so much from it, and we have gained so much strength, so much insight, you know, and we give God thanks. This week we're going to go into the New Testament, and it's funny how the Holy Spirit would have led me to the book of Corinthians. Yeah, it's indeed a challenging epistle. You know, as a matter of fact, it's one of the largest set of writings to any particular church that Paul would have wrote, you know, to the church in Corinth, the book, First and Second Corinthians. He spent time with them, you know. They had a lot of issues in that church, and Paul spent time with them, correcting them. One of the things that I want us to look at tonight is the way how Paul lovingly corrected these people. It's as if they were so special to Paul that he spent time in correcting. You know, you ever have some people correcting you yet, and the way they are correcting you is as if they just cut you down completely. When they finish correcting you, it's like you don't even know if you're going or coming. The way you feel so down and out, the way you feel so destroyed, the very little moral that you had left in you, or the very little source, the very little strength that you have is so is just wiped out completely after some people would have tried to correct you. But Paul, he corrected the Corinthians church, the church in Corinth, though they were so bad, though they were so wicked and set in their ways. Paul would point out their eyes, the good point, the good point before he even touched on the part that the bad points. You know, he would cheerfully point out to them that you are the people of God. You are saved. You are sent. You know, he'd point out to them their good points, and then he'd just take it, then he'd correct them and say, all right, since you know better, you should do better. Because you are the people of God. You know better, so do better. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, so Paul would lovingly correct these people as if they are his own children. You know, I shouldn't even say own children, because some of us parents, when we call it correcting a child, we don't even tell them that, oh, even though you get 80% in math right here and there, but you know, you're not going to even go the 80% in the math, but you're going to beat on the 50% in English, and you're going to tear them down and destroy their little moral right there and then. You know, you don't say, oh, if 80% is good, but you need to work a little harder on your English and stuff. You know, but we see there's much to be learned from the letter to the Corinthians church in Corinth that Paul wrote. There's a lot and of takeaways from it. You know, so without further ado, let us just open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for this another opportunity that we have to come into your presence where there is fullness of joy. Help us to reap that which you have put in this study for us, mighty God. Your word tells us that you load us daily with benefit. I pray, God, that this is one of the benefits that you will load us with today so we can take away with us, imparting to us wisdom, mighty God, to understand your word. Your word tells us that your word is spirit. The natural man cannot understand the spiritual things unless you, mighty God, by your spirit, would come and open up our spiritual capacity so we can understand. So we take it not for granted that we really need you in these studies, mighty God. We really need you to cut and clear a pathway and to give us insight and foresight to open up our mental capacity so that we can accommodate the word of God. Cause us to be on good soil, mighty God, soil that will reap forth fruit, that when your word is planted on it, it will bring forth fruit in due season. I pray, mighty God, that there will be no technical difficulties with others who are trying to get on even now. I pray, mighty God, that all shores will be completed. Hallelujah. I pray, mighty God, that your people will come with a mind to hear from you. Yes, mighty God, and to be fed in Christ's name. I pray even now that I may decrease and you increase. Your word will be spoken with power and with clarity, and you will be glorified. In Christ's name, I pray, and for the glory of Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, so Book of Corinthians, written by Apostle Paul, of course. Amen. So 1 Corinthians is a powerful reminder of how the gospel of Christ can transform lives and the wisdom of God that surpasses human understanding. It highlights the importance of unity in the church, centered in Christ and his message. It teaches us that true wisdom and power comes from God, and that in Christ we find our sanctification and redemption. Amen. I want someone to find for me First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. We're going to read that portion right after the introduction. So this epistle, as I said before, was written by Apostle Paul in the first half of AD 55 from Ephesus. And it was written while Paul was on his third missionary journeys. Maybe sometime we'll look at the missionary journeys that Paul had. He was a missionary, He had missionary journey 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to look at what he accomplished in all of those missionary journeys, church building and all of that, where he went and what he did and what he accomplished from it, erecting churches, Ephesus, in Athens, all over the place he was, and how he traveled there and then, the dedication that he had to let the gospel of Christ be known, right? So most of the serious problems of the Corinthian church was materialism and unwillingness to divorce the culture around them. Most of the believers could not constantly separate themselves from their old selfish moral and pagan ways. It becomes necessary for Apostle Paul to write to correct this, as well as to commend the faithful Christians, not only to break fellowship with the disobedient and unrepentant members, but to put those members out of the church. It's not putting up with it. Put them out. Put them out of the church. Amen. Paul received report from people of the Chloe household about problem in Corinth, in the Corinthians church. And that 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. Paul wrote a lot of letters to the Corinthians church than he actually did with other churches. As I said before, he spent time with this church, used church. Amen. Anyone there with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 to 3?
I can
Amen.
read for you. Oh,
I
sorry.
read. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and such things, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, for both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And someone else can continue from 4 to 9.
I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Let us examine the greetings and thanksgiving in 1 Corinthians, in the portion that we just read. What do you think these verses reveal about the recipient of the letter? What do you think it reveal about the church in Corinth? Especially the part that it mentioned about the spiritual gifts and the relationship with God in Christ. What do you think it reveal about the recipients, the church in Corinth?
I think having received Jesus Christ as Savior, they were given spiritual gifts because all of us who believe in Jesus Christ are given spiritual gifts. So they too had gotten spiritual gifts.
Amen.
And he called them saints because
Amen.
they're sanctified. So I call them saints. That is telling me that all of us who believe in Jesus Christ and are Christians, we are saints. Yes, we
Amen.
are.
Yes. And they are so we get from that they are saints, they have spiritual gifts. That means working of miracles, the faith, the gift of faith, gift of healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, you know, all the gifts. They have all the spiritual gifts. He said they said they lack nothing. They lack none of the gifts.
So they lack nothing, but at the same time, they were not spiritually mature.
I
No, no, neither are we. Neither
will
spiritually mature.
right.
We are all,
Go on. I think later on we're going to find out that
Okay, the
the real
holy,
problem, yes.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. So, in verse one, it said Paul called to be an apostle. It's literally saying that he is a called apostle. Paul tells them, the Corinthians church, that what kind of apostle he is, a called apostle, even though Paul is not one of the 12 apostles, right? But he is on par with them because, like them, he's chosen by God. And we see for in other epistles, we have seen where Paul said that even though he's not one of the 12, but he worked harder than all of them, all of the others. You
Yes,
know,
oh yeah. Oh
he
yeah.
worked harder than all of the others because he
Yeah.
was the most, because of where he was coming from, the type of person that he was persecuting Christians and stuff, killing. He was even consenting to the death of Stephen, the first deacon in the early church. You know, so he labored more abundantly, more than every one of the other apostles. He worked hard. You know, Paul worked harder than all the apostles. You know, so to say that he was on par is like an understatement. To say that he was on par, he was level with them. He worked harder than all of them. So Paul being an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, this is Paul. Paul is laying the foundation of his apostleship. Paul is saying, you may not all recognize my apostolic credential. This is of little importance to me because I am not an apostle because of popular election. I am not an apostle because of the appointment of other apostles. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God,
Yes.
not by the
Amen.
will of man. So
Amen.
he stood his
Amen.
ground. You know, he stood his ground right there and then. You know, he shows his authority through Christ, the authority that he has through Christ.
Amen. Amen.
An apostle in the ancient Greek is a word, apostolos, which has the idea of a special ambassador. So when he mentioned that he's an apostle, he means that he's a special ambassador of Jesus Christ, special ambassador. You know, Paul also mentioned Sestanus.
Sustain.
Sestanus, we see him again in Acts of the Holy Spirit, Acts of the Apostles, 18 verse 17. Acts 18 verse 17, which reads, then all the Greek stood took Sostanus, the leader of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these. So Sostanus was the head of the Corinthian synagogue. Yeah, he was the head of the Corinthian synagogue, who was beaten because he protected Paul. Amen. In verse 2, he said, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place called on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both
Lord,
theirs and
and
ours, to the church of God. Most people today associate the word church with a building where Christians meet. But the ancient Greek word, ecclesia, For church, that's the ancient Greek word for
Amen.
church, ecclesia, refers to a body of believers in Christ,
Amen. Yes,
both a
we are.
universal entity and a local congregation. It can also refer to a specific group of believers assembled to worship. That's ecclesia, the church, the called out. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, which, and he said, the church which is at, the church of God, which is at Corinth. Most, all right, at Corinth. Corinth was one of the great city of the ancient world.
Yes, yes.
A community that is very much like New York. Very
Very rich,
prosperous. Yes,
very
very
rich.
prosperous, very busy and growing. It has a deserved reputation. You know, let me see this. A reputation of recklessness, pursuit of pleasure.
So rich.
Recklessness going on down here.
So rich.
Corinth had a rich ethnic, rich, and it's a mixture of good mixture. And it was a center of sports, government, military, and business. The Corinthian people were known for partying, drunkenness, and loose sexual morals.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
the term Corinthianazana, that's a term they use, Corinthianazame, as well known in the is well known in the Roman Empire to literally mean to live like a Corinthian. So people in Corinth was like they had that stigma about
Happy,
them, you know. Yeah, they have
bigger
that
lucky people.
happy go lucky. Yeah, so Paul is writing to the church, which is at Corinth. Notice the contrast there. The church of God, that is something good, right?
Yeah.
And which is at Corinth, some
Point.
place bad. That is some place bad. So something good that is in some place bad. Amen. So
Yes, oh yeah.
understanding the tension between the church and the city is important to
Yes.
understand the letter of 1 Corinthians. The tension, the way the church is, and the people that is in that area, the influence that would possibly be on the church. So the bottom line is this: the church, is the church influencing the city, or is the city influencing the church?
Oh,
Yeah, because
yes. Well,
the church now is placed in the heart of Corinth, a place where there is partying, drunkenness, and everything happening there,
yes,
sexual immoralities and stuff.
ma'am.
And there is a church that is planted right in there.
Yeah.
So we know to understand where Paul is writing to the Corinth, to understand what is happening in that era, in that place, we have to understand whether or not is the church gravitating to the ear, to the people, or the custom in the era, or vice versa. You know, someone said the measure of failure on the part of the church is the measure in which she has allowed herself to influence by the spirit of the age. We are sometimes told today that what the church supremely need is that she should catch the spirit of the age. That the church should catch the spirit of the age. You know,
Amen.
but
Amen.
our answer to that as Christians is no, we should not catch the spirit of the age. But instead, what the church supremely need is to correct the spirit of the age. So don't let the things them of the world influence the church. Don't let them tell you that you can wear your pants anyhow, come in the house of God, and you can dress anyhow, because
Amen,
this is the
amen,
custom.
amen,
This is the
amen,
in thing that
amen,
is going on. So you can left,
amen.
make your pants drop down at your waist,
Hallelujah.
drop down at your bottom, and stick
Amen.
in at the house of God,
Hallelujah.
because that's the
Hallelujah.
norm.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the norm. That's
Amen.
no. You know, we should not be, as a people, let the society or the
Praise
surrounding where the church
God.
is influence the church. But we as the church
That's
should
true.
influence the society.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and
Yes.
we've seen a lot of that foolishness going on. You know, where the
Yes.
church have to be conformed, where the church find itself now conforming to the things of the world so that people of the world can come in.
Oh,
And
that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be.
they come
Yes.
and they come
Say
and
again.
they coerce the pastor to tell the pastor, don't have service for more than an hour because we have work to go to and we have
Amen.
this to do. And if
Yes.
them,
Yes, say it
yeah,
again. Say it again.
and if it start go over an hour, then start get vexed and then start come out and then start lose interest
Yes,
and then
but
not come back
they
next
come
week.
here.
Start
Yes.
to
Change.
Yes, that is a church
To
that is being conformed to the world.
the world. Yes.
Yeah, because and you can't preach. And if the pastor ever start preach about hell and then do it for two Sunday, make sure they not do it the third Sunday, because they not come back.
Yes, but they're not coming back. They're not coming back.
No,
Yes,
he must preach. He must preach prosperity, and he must preach blessing. He not for preach no curse.
They say you're dropping word on them. You're dropping word on them.
Yes, you're dropping word anytime you start to preach about
Yes.
brimstone and fire. People get
Fire.
uncomfortable.
You
The
don't know
time you start
anything
to
about when
identify
you
sin,
preach,
they
when you
get so
preach.
uncomfortable.
To comfortable message to please the people, to please the people.
Yes, they don't want nothing to challenge the believers. They don't want no challenge. They just want come in, see them like how they come in. They want to leave
Dry,
out. You know?
dry bone, done the cake.
That is all the dry bone. Yeah. So
Dry bone.
those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, we need to be reminded of who we are, lest we forget. Paul continued his description of the Corinthian Christian by using the word sanctified and saints. Those
Amen.
are
Amen.
sanctified people.
Amen.
If ever time we need to be sanctified is now. Sanctification is a big word now. Sanctify yourself is a setting apart. It tells us that we need to be set apart. When you're sanctified, you're set apart, you know, and you're saint, you know. These two words have the same these two words may communicate the same idea of being
Annotation.
set apart from the
Annotation.
world unto God.
Sanctified, sanctified.
Yeah,
Yes.
set apart. Yeah. So they're called saints.
Yes.
Called
Yes.
saints. Amen.
Yes.
So there is so much in First Corinthians that is unbecoming of Christians in Corinth. In the book of First Corinthians, there's so much about the Corinthians that is unbecoming. You know, that
Yes.
is unbecoming of a Christian. They are shown to have morality problems. They are shown to have doctrine problems, church government problems, spiritual gift problems, church service problem, authority problem. They don't even know who to follow. Them
Lord,
split.
division, unity, disunity.
Yes, they don't even know who to follow and stuff. But Paul referred to them as saints.
Saints, sanctified, yes,
Yes,
sanctified,
saved and sanctified people.
yes,
Yeah.
they're sanctified.
God
We are
told Paul, you know.
remember this song. This song is safe and sanctified.
Yeah. God told Paul in a vision, you know, that he have many people in Corinth, you know. That's what God told Paul in a vision when we look at Acts chapter 18, verse 9 to 10. He
Oh,
said, God tell him that he had many people in Corinth. And even though they were so bad, God had many people in there. Acts 18, 9 to 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in a night's vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city.
this city,
Yeah, he has many people in the city, even though they were so indifferent and so bad and so callous and so careless and so reveling and so violent and so disoriented, and the list goes on. God still has people in there. And remember, we're reading a study about imperfect people who God make perfected.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So, though, yes. So this is one of them. All right. So, verse 4 to 9 tells us, oh God, oh Paul would give thanks for them. Paul said, I thank my God always. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, rebuking them of sin, you know, and correcting errors. And he's saying he's thanking God for them.
Amen. Encouragement.
He come and he say, I thank God for you always.
Yes,
Remember,
amen. Amen.
when Paul was penning this epistle, it was
Yes.
after he have heard from the people in
Cold.
Chloe, you know,
Cold.
when Chloe
Cold.
would come to Ephesus
Yes.
and tell him what was happening in that church in
Church.
Corinth, you know, and say, Brother Paul, you know, you are going down to the church where you start. People want to mash up the church. You know, and Paul had that in mind. Paul had that in mind when he was penning this letter to the Corinthians church, that there were some indifference going on down there. Yet he said, I thank God for you always.
Amen.
You
Amen.
know, he's about to correct them, he's about to rebuke them of sin, you know, and correct errors, you know. And even though he was informed what was happening, he was lovingly correcting them,
Thanking
same
God.
way.
Thanking God for
Yes.
them.
You know,
In love. In
he didn't
love.
cut them down. It
Yes.
says,
Love.
you know,
So
he didn't cut
remember,
them down.
he was thanking God for them and for the work that they were doing, although there were problems, right? But
Yes.
the gifts, they had the gifts and everything and the work they were doing, but at the same time, they were having problems. So thank God for the people and for the gifts among them.
Amen. Yes,
Amen.
for the grace
Yes.
which was given to you by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, this was a specific reason for Paul's gratitude. You know, everything good the Corinthians church have from God has to come by grace. Grace means that God freely gives for his own reason, the unmerited favor
Love God.
of Almighty God. And Paul went on to say, enrich, they are enriching everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. They know about God. These are people that know about God because they were enriched in him and in all utterance and in all knowledge. This was the effect of grace in the life of the Corinthians believers, the grace they had all knowledge of everything. The
Grace.
Corinthians was a rich church, not only materially, but also in their speech and knowledge of Jesus. They knew about God, they knew about Jesus, and in their speech, all utterance and in all knowledge, the testimony of Christ. They have a testimony, they have met Christ, they know Christ, you know,
Yes.
and they have all the gifts that they need in order to mature them into Christians, into proper believers and stuff. And not only that, but they were eagerly anticipating the coming of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, that
Stop work. Stop work.
you know, some people nowadays, you know, in this society, this world that we're living in, it's as if they're living as if Christ is not coming back, you know. They live without no anticipation. They live without no anticipation of
They
Christ coming
live
back.
like they're going to break.
Yeah, they live as if they don't have that consciousness that Christ will come again and is coming is soon. You know, they just live anyhow and stuff. You know, and when he comes, his reward is with him. The reward for every man, he is carrying his reward with him to pay every man according to how they have worked. Amen. So the work of God in the Corinthians church could be seen by what they said, by what they learned, by a supernatural element in their lives, and by the expectant anticipation of Jesus' return. That's what we as Christians, if we need to take a page out of the Corinthians church, this is what we should take out. Live the life, walk the life, taught the life of a Christ, of a Christian. You know? Yes. Make E Christ be the one that is seen and be glorified. Let all honor and glory be unto him. He is the one that called us for a time. As let us please him and not the world around us, but please God. He is the ultimate one that we should please. You know, as we're on that, the story has been told of a lady. She played violin, right? She would play the violin skillfully. She knows her tune. She knows it in and out. And she was invited to a concert, a huge concert, a lot of people in that concert. And she was up there playing our violin. Very made a lot of melodies coming from it and sounding good. And the crowd, they love her. She played so well. And they cheer her on. You know, they cheer her on as she played, they cheer her on. And when by the time she was finished playing, everyone stood up and applauded. Everyone stood up and applauded. They appreciated. They appreciated so well. And she walked off that stage, went to the back, and the promoter in the back met her there and said, "Why you leave the stage?" And the people, they were there clapping and cheering it on. "You should continue playing. You should go back out there and continue playing because they are appreciating you." And that young lady, she held on her head and said, "No, not everyone stand up." He said, the young lady said, "There's a man at the front. He didn't stand up. And that man is my instructor. That man is my teacher." She said, everyone else stood up and applauding her. But that one man at the front, who is our instructor, he didn't stand up. He was not pleased.
He didn't appreciate her.
He's not a pleased. He was not pleased with our performance. So she spent her time pleasing the crowd and not pleasing the one who is our instructor. And we'd find ourselves falling into that same error, pleasing everyone else and don't please God.
Amen. Yes.
You're
Yes.
pleasing the crowd, having the crowd going, hooray, hooray, hooray for you. And you're
Well,
heading
he's
straight down to hell because
saying
you're not pleasing God, the one who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, so we have to be careful. We have to be careful. You know. Yes. So Paul look at the Corinthians church. When he look at it, he would say, these people proclaim Christ Jesus. They know about Jesus. They have supernatural gift. They can speak in tongues. They can interpret tongues. They can work miracles. They can they have the gift of faith. Everything there. They lack nothing. And they are
Something.
excited. They're excited about Jesus' return. That's the part I love. They're excited about Jesus' return. Whatever problem they had, these are some pretty impressive, strong points. Those points, they are strong enough. And they can even this much be said about many churches. You know, if that alone can be said about many churches, that they're expecting Jesus to return, they have the gifts, they have that and that. It would be good. But did you know that? Did you know that gift? The gift alone, it can't save you, you know. It can't. The gift can't save you, you know. You could work miracle and prophesy, speak in tongues and interpret tongues, heal and everything. And you still find yourself going headway down into hell, you know. Because
Amen.
it's not the
Amen.
gifts, it's not the gifts, it's not the gifts that matter, you know. It's the
No.
fruit, it's the fruit of the spirit. If you're not
Hallelujah. Amen.
if you're not demonstrating the fruit of the spirit,
Yes. Amen.
then you have no latter part. You remember when Jesus was telling the story of the kingdom, and he said, some would say, "Lord, have I not prophesied in your name?
Yes.
Have I not work miracles, healing in your name?" And he said, "Depart from me, I know you're not, your work of iniquity. Walk," he said, get away from me, step aside." You know, yet they were the one that healing, they were the one that prophesying, they were the one with that, but there was no fruit. The fruit is what is important: the love, joy, peace.
No joy, no love, nothing at all. Oh, yes. That's
Yes,
don't you?
there was no fruit coming from it. There was only the gift. You all
They
right.
weren't growing. They weren't growing.
All right. Look at what the gospel said. What Jesus said. He said the gift and calling of God, they are without repentance.
Amen.
The
Amen.
gift and the calling of God are without repentance. You can have the gift and the calling. God not going to take it back from you if you step out of the will. He's not going to take it back. He's not going to take back your gift from you. Because when somebody give you a gift, normally they don't take it back from you. You stay with it.
No.
You stay with that gift. Amen. So they are without repentance. God not going to take it back from you. So you will find some people that the Spirit of God would have led them long time ago, and they would be still prophesying. They would be still preaching. They'll be still healing people. They'll be still laying their hands and doing everything, same way as if the Spirit of God was in them, because the gift and calling of God are without repentance. God is the only one that would cause you to continue working when you're already fire, when him already fire you. And he would make you still continue to work. The Spirit leave you a long time, but you still have a gift. You still know the ism and the schism, and still know if you move. When you go to church, you still know if you lift up your hand, you still
I'll
know to do
work
the
with
shake.
that.
You still know to do the shake. You still know to do the amen. Bless the Lord. I'm so blessed. You still know to put it on and pull it off and stuff. But the Spirit of the Lord would have leave you a long time. Paul would have said to the Corinthians church that you fall short in none of the gift, none of the spiritual gift. You fall short in none of them. Yet they were so bad.
Yes.
They were gifted, but they were carnal, just the same. That just shows us that that's a gift. The gifts are nothing unless they are used to glorify God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So there was a problem in the church, a division problem. In verse 10 tells us, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same things, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul is saying, "I plead with you, I'm begging you." Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had authority in the church. He had the right and the authority. Instead, with loving heart, he begs them and plead with them to be unified as believers. If ever time we find believers separated and splitting and having their own, doing their own thing, it is now in the church. It's like there is no unity, no bond that keep together. And this is not nothing new. It's something that was going on from all the way from the Corinthians church. And the way Paul is taking it down, the way Paul is so good at rebuking them in love.
Yes.
Yeah, he's doing it. He's doing everything in love. He's saying, "I plead with you." He plead with you. When he heard what they were going on with the separation and the this and the that, he could just come and just curse them out once and for all. There were no, he said, there be no division among you. It
This
gives
is
it comes from the Greek word schismatic. Derives from the English word, we get that word schism in the Yes, in the English word, it's schism and
Is
stuff. Yes, is a fraction or a division or whatever. It literally means to tear or to rend.
You're
Yeah,
a
that
part.
division, that schism, it's literally mean to tear or to rend. They want to tear the church apart. They want to rip each other apart, tearing up the body of Christ. But they, they, but seems as if they did not read the part that tells us that upon this rock he has built his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So even with that, even with the schisms that Corinth they were going on with in the Corinthians church, they could not tear the church, they could not tear it apart, because here Paul now, with the Spirit of God in him, is correcting them. You know, so Paul exposes the foolishness of division, for it has been declared. I'm at verse 11 to 13. He said, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions, that there are contention among you, that I say that each of you, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos,
Oh, loss.
I am of Cephas,
I have
I
friends.
am of Christ." And Paul is saying, is Christ divided?
No.
Was I, Paul, crucified for any of you? Or were
No.
you baptized in the name of Paul?
No.
You
No.
know,
No. No.
he said, those of Chloe's household. Chloe was a woman. Possibly she was a Christian or whatever. Whose she has business interests that caused those of our household to travel to Ephesus. And you know, Paul is writing to the Corinthians church, to the church in Corinth from Ephesus, from yes, that's where the Ephesian church was. So Paul is writing this letter. So these business people from Chloe's household came to Ephesus and they saw Paul and they was telling him of the of what was happening
In your current answer.
in the Corinthians church. He
Yes.
said, contentions among you. The Corinthians church suffered under quarreling and conflict. This conflict had made them divide up in parties and cliques, each party having their own leader. Paul, Apollos, you know, Cephas, Christ. Yeah.
Jesus.
He said,
Amen.
I am of Paul. There was that's the party of Paul. We declare that we are following the footstep of the man who founded the church. Paul is the one who founded the church, so they are following his footstep. Another set say, I am of Apollos. And this Apollos party, they're following the footstep of a man who is great in power and spiritual gifts,
Yes,
a very
amen.
impressive man. You know, and we see Apollos mentioned in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 25. Acts 18, 24 to 25, and he said, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So that's where the
You see,
Apollos came in. And you know, Cephas, you know who Cephas is when they say, I
Peter,
am of Cephas.
Peter, Peter, Peter.
Yes. So Cephas is Peter. Right? So when they say, I am of Cephas, the party of Peter and they're following Peter. He was the first among all the apostles. You know, Peter was the first among all the apostles. God gave and God gave him the key to the kingdom of heaven. You know, he gave him the key, whatever you're buying is bound. Yeah. And he said, and another said, say, I am of Christ. And this,
Amen.
and who declare we are, I you know, people of God, when you look at these divisions and these different groups that are spread out, that's how the church, that's how you have so many different denominations all over, you know. Because some say, okay, we are Jesus only. We are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are Seventh Day. We are this. We are that. And it's the same contention going on. You remember what the same Cephas wrote somewhere in at no, isn't the same Cephas he wrote somewhere there. I think it's in Second Peter or somewhere. He said, my brother Paul, he wrote some things that are hard to understand.
Truly, truly,
That people take it and wrestle with it. You know what a wrestling? They wrestle with it to their own destruction. Yeah, that's what Cephas wrote, you know. Paul wrote, you know. Peter wrote, you know. He said, my brother Paul, he wrote some things that are hard to understand. That if you're not stable in your mind, you wrestle with it to your own destruction. And that's where the lot of division. Some people just look at one sentence that Paul wrote. They don't look at context. They don't look where it's coming from, and just say, okay, we sticking with this belief. Are we sticking with that belief? We're sticking with this belief. You know? Yes, and they just stuck to one part of it without getting the full understanding of it. Yeah, so you find there's a split there. Paul wasn't rude. Do you think Paul was rude when he said, was Paul crucified for any of you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Yeah, he was just frank. He just tell it as it is. He said, was, even though, yes, he's lovingly correcting these people, you know. He's correcting them like his own children. And he's telling them that they have spiritual gifts. He's telling them that they lack nothing. He's telling them that they are saints. He's calling them saints, right? He's calling them that they're, he's telling them, he's reminding them that they are sanctified. You know, he's reminding them of all things. But here, Paul now telling them, was Paul crucified for any of you? You know, were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know, yes. So Paul is grateful. He did not that Paul is grateful that he did not baptize any of them, because in the scripture he said that he thanked God that he didn't baptize any of them apart from certain people. He baptized, you know, he said, verse 14 to 17, he said, I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And he said he also baptized the house of Stephanas. Yeah, he said, beside, I do not know whether I baptize any other of you. Yeah, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You hear what Paul said, right? What Paul said right there now? He said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the Christ, cross of Christ should be of none effect. People would run with this little portion of it and say, we don't need to baptize. Because Paul said Christ did not send me to, but yet it is not in that context. You
You
know?
see,
Yes.
misunderstanding.
Yes, it was not in that context. Paul did not baptize. All right. Paul did baptize a few Corinthians, Crispus and like he mentioned, and yes, and we see those in Acts. We see where he will perform that baptismal in Acts chapter 18, verse 8. You know, and Paul said, I thank God Christ did not send me to baptize, for Paul preaching was more important than baptism, though he certainly did not oppose the baptism. He did not oppose baptism.
No,
You know, yet we'll see by this that baptism is not essential to salvation, right? By what he said, we'll see that baptism is not essential for your salvation. If it were, if the teaching of baptismal regeneration were true, then Paul could never thank God that he baptized so few in Corinth. He would baptize every, you know, if that, you know, yes. And Paul, as an evangelist, could never say Christ did not send me to baptize. If he was to go around and baptize everybody, because you have to, in order to be baptized, you have to be saved. It is upon your profession of your salvation that you are saved. You can go down there as a wet sinner and come as a dry sinner and come up as a wet sinner.
A wet devil, a wet devil.
Yeah, because you're not saved.
No.
And you go down there and you're a dry sinner and come up as a wet sinner. You're a dry same way. And you're worse than when you're, you know, so his mission is to give you the word. The word now will illuminate your life, and then the beauty of Jesus will be seen in you, and you can publicly make that public declaration by being baptized there and there. You know?
Yes,
Yes. Yes.
Public, yeah.
Yeah, a public declaration of your belief, of your confession. You know? Everything line up, and your humility, because you have to be humble in order to go underneath the waters of baptism. It's a sign of humility.
Yes,
you know.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a sign of humility.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Go down there, wait up, come out as a new man, a resurrected.
Man,
you're buried,
yes,
show your
man.
burial with Christ, and you
Yes.
rise up in glory, glorifying
Glory.
God. You are now a new creation, a
New
brand new
creation.
man. You
New
wash
creation.
away all things are washed away. So,
Yes.
baptism by itself doesn't save you. It's
No.
your profession
No.
and your belief, and
And
the
you mean,
Son of
yes.
God who died
Yes.
for your sin, who was crucified to give you,
And buried.
to give, who was crucified for you. That's what your salvation is based on, not your baptism. But
No.
baptism is a public declaration. So you must,
Amen.
when you
Amen.
believe, you must be baptized.
Amen.
Baptized in the water and baptized in the Holy Ghost too.
Amen.
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 Yes. 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 I did not baptize and that. Not it. So Paul
Yes.
said, not in wisdom of words. He didn't come
Yes.
to you in wisdom of words. Paul, sorry. Not in wisdom of words, which can be translated. It don't come with no cleverness or no cleverness of speaking or whatever. Paul came, he would come straight to them, plainly, without any attempt to dazzle them or with eloquence or intellect. You know, Paul came to Corinth from Athens, right? Before he was in Corinth. He was in Athens, then he journeyed down to Corinth when he started that church. You know, and in that time, when he was in Corinth, he was talking to some big intellectuals up there, telling them about Christ, telling them about that and stuff. You know, so some people think that, some of theologians would think that Paul was disappointed by the results from Athens when he was like really talking high up to those to those philosophers and stuff. And he resolved to be more simplified to the church in Corinth. He break it down so that they could understand. He said, least the cross of Christ should be of no effect. He no use no eloquence of speech or nothing, because he want it to be about the cross of Christ. Paul make it clear that it is possible to preach the gospel in a way that makes it of no effect. You know, so all they would see there in the pulpit or in the streets or whatever, is just mechanical energy. It's just you making a bag of noise mechanically, and there is no spirit of God working in and through you that bring forth the salvation. Paul would say in some other part, he said, Paul plant, Apollos water, but it's God who give the increase. So if you just there, just having your own intellect and doing your own thing without the Spirit of God, nothing will work. He want the cross of Christ to be made, to be effective. You know? So the great gospel of Jesus Christ, the very power of God unto salvation, made empty and of no effect through the pride and cleverness of man. So when you're prideful and you think you're clever and you're this and you're that, and you're not depending on the Holy Spirit, you know, you're not depending on the Holy Spirit, is a sure ground for failure.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a dangerous thing to just be using mechanical energy without the demonstration of the power of Almighty God that is able to transform, is able to transform life. Amen.
Yes,
Yeah,
amen.
so
Amen.
we are at verse 18, but for the interest of time, we're going to stop there. We're going to pick up
Yeah.
from verse 18 next. Next, I'm not sure, but sometime further, maybe in July or so, because next week, hopefully, we'll finish Rahab. We'll finish Rahab next week. Next week, if God graciously permits. Amen. But take away from this that Christ, who is our foundation, the one who has called us, is the one that we must work to please. Whatever we do it as unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes, I want to welcome you all. I see some new members here with us tonight. We welcome you to our humbly platform where we have Bible study every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time and 7 p.m. Jamaica time. I'm not able to see all the names here, but I'm seeing Sister Cheryl Palmer. I bless God for you, Sister Cheryl.
Night, sorry.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Sister Cheryl. And I see Sister Elisa. Sister Elisha. Bless the Lord, Sister Elisha.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
We're so glad that you're able to join us tonight, and we're looking forward to see you again and again and again.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. And Sister Shanique, bless the Lord. Sister Oshinson, bless the Lord. Sister Tamaya. Yes. Sister Tracy, bless the Lord. Yes, and before we go, is there any question from the floor? Any feedback, any comment before we close off in prayer? Sister Legister will close off for us in prayer. Any feedback?
I
I
have a
have
question.
a message for the group when you're done.
Okay, Sister Grant.
Brother Scott, I have a question.
Go ahead, Sister Eva.
Yeah. So as I was reading Acts chapter 9, I read about Saul and then later become Paul. Is this the same? I just need clarification. Is this the same Paul?
Yes.
Yes, he's the same. He's the same. He was Saul,
Right.
Saul, and then
Okay.
at his conversion, and he wrote to Damascus when
Damascus, yes.
his name was changed to
Okay.
Paul, and he
Okay,
stays
okay.
there. He stays at Paul right through the scriptures.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. So Christ did his deep hole for him. Yeah, Christ did his deep hole for him, and it's done perfectly. Amen. Yes. Any
Amen.
other questions, feedback from the floor?
Okay, I share what I wanted to say. Good evening, everyone.
Good
Good
evening, Sister
evening.
Grant.
When you sent out that link last week with the Bible study, I shared it with somebody that some of you know, Sister Smith. She is in California. Some of you know her. She is listening to all of what you have done so far. And she said, thank you, because she's been blessed.
Amen.
And she
Bless the
sends
Lord.
hello to all those who know her and that she will be listening to all of them as they come up. And she's so blessed to have had it because she has never had that experience before.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
the Lord.
And a special word, yes, and a special word for Camille and some other people, but I mean the group on a whole. She's been blessed by what is going on and she's learning.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. To God be the glory.
Yes, Sister Scott.
Yes, my teacher. Yes, she was my teacher.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I thought she was in Florida. Where did she go?
California.
California, I thought she was in Florida. Okay.
Yeah, your passport work on Mrs. Scott.
Yes, ma'am. I hear, ma'am. I hear. But I said
Okay.
I thought she was in Florida.
Okay, no, it's her now.
Amen.
So
Bless the
what may
Lord.
if you share it with your friends, maybe they'll be blessed too, because I didn't know that you would be going through all of them.
I tried to get Gage, but she has not come on.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
So give my regards to Erna.
I will.
Give
I
my
will.
regards to Erna.
Ebatan teacher.
Yes, my teacher. Amen. So, continue to share the link, continue to share the meeting time. Yes, it's good. It's a good thing that we have going, it's just set aside 1 hour, 1 hour and 15 minutes on a Saturday, just to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to bring to faith those that haven't met Christ Jesus as I've known Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. We do not take it lightly, but we're here. We're here, and it's God's grace and mercy that has brought us safe thus far. So continue to invite others out to worship with us as we study the Bible. Amen. Any other feedback before Sister Legister? Free.
Bless the Lord, everyone. Deacon Scott, I wanted to use this opportunity, to encourage you as a stalwart for the Lord to continue. I know, I don't know why this is coming now, but I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I want to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. Persons are being blessed, and you may not hear enough, or you might even hear, but you might not even know the impact. But I want to thank God for you, Deacon, and for your ministry. It has allowed me to grow, and I've heard the Sister Merle just testified of a friend who would have been blessed, and I know of many others who would have shared the same testimony, including myself. So I just want to encourage you, Deacon. I know that it is a challenge sometimes, grappling with all the things that you have to do and the preparation. Sometimes it can be heavy, I know. But whenever, if ever time that you feel overwhelmed, I want you to remember that, the impact is great. Persons are being affected in a positive way. And I do believe that God is pleased with you. So God bless you as you continue, Deacon, to work for the Lord. And as we, as members, continue to pray for the growth of this ministry, to grow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you, Sister Camille. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We need no.
Any other feedback? Any before until Lynette pray?
I've learned a lot. Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Sister Legister, it's over to you.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. We bless your name. We Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We just worship you tonight as the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven is your throne. Earth is your footstool. We just
Hallelujah.
Magnify you, Lord God. You are so good to us. We just worship you. Thank you for this time, Lord God. We praise you. We bless your name. We thank
yes, Lord.
Your faithfulness to us, your power to transform our lives, mighty God. You have made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. God, you have called us into fellowship, oh God, with your Son.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you tonight.
Hallelujah.
People whom you have called, oh God, to trust you and to worship you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the gift of grace, oh God. You have poured on us grace we need in this time of need, oh God. Lord God, we just pray for unity with
oh,
one
God.
Oh God. Help us to work together.
Yes, God.
And to bring each other in unity and oneness in the name of Jesus. God, we pray tonight that there be no divisions among us.
Hallelujah.
But that we be united, oh God, in mind, in spirit, soul, and body in the name
yes, Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You are mighty God, so we thank you tonight.
Yes,
oh God. Help us, Lord God, as we deal with one another, not to be rude, oh God, not to be arrogant towards one another. Help us to live a life of humility, mighty God. Give us the wisdom, oh God. Lord Jesus, we bless your name tonight.
Yes, Lord.
To know the gospel, oh God, to know your word.
Yes, Jesus.
And to know that it has to do with Jesus, oh God. And our position is in him, so we thank you tonight. And not in man, oh God. Not in people, not in whom we believe, oh God.
Yes.
But in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you tonight. We trust you. And we thank you for your power to transform our lives, oh God, into what you want us to be. Lord, we confess tonight and we declare, oh God, that we love you, oh God. And we'll walk in unity with one another in the name of Jesus. Lord God, cause us not to look out for our own interest, oh God, but for the interest of others. Lord, we declare tonight, oh God, that we'll honor and love our leaders, Lord God, not to take sides, oh God, because they are the ministers of the gospel, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord God, we just lift them up in prayer. All we have to do is to pray for them, oh God.
Yes, my.
Thank you, Jesus, for hearing us tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord, for past failures. We admit, oh God, that at times we have sinned against you and against one another. But Lord, we ask your forgiveness tonight.
Yes, Jesus.
Help us, oh God, to take heed to your word.
Yes,
not leaning to our own understanding, oh God. But to acknowledge our failures in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we just
Lord.
Bless your name tonight, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, for your bountiful blessings. Blessings you bestow upon us, oh God. Blessings we do not deserve. But
yes.
We thank you tonight, as your word said, that
yes,
blessing
God.
Will make us rich. And add no sorrow in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask tonight that you'll help us to use our gifts
yes,
and our
Lord.
Talents, oh God.
Hallelujah.
To build up your kingdom, mighty God.
Yes,
yes
glorify
Lord.
You, oh God, and we thank you for your plan. We thank you for your purpose
thank
and
you,
the promises
Jesus.
You have for us in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
We praise
Hallelujah.
You tonight, mighty God, and we thank you for the freedom. To study
Hallelujah.
Your word, oh God.
Jesus.
As Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, rightly
Hallelujah.
Dividing the word,
word
of
truth.
Truth. So we thank you for your word tonight, oh God. And we ask as we study your word, we ask for discernment of spirit, oh God. We ask for wisdom, mighty God. We ask
yes,
for
Lord.
Understanding. We ask, oh God, that you give us the desire, oh God.
to learn more of you.
Yes,
Open
Lord.
our eyes, mighty God, to see the truth, oh God.
Thank you,
in
Jesus.
your word, in
oh
the name
God.
of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, we ask for
Hallelujah.
Wisdom as we study your word, mighty God. We thank you tonight, oh God, and we ask that your Holy Spirit will apply your word to our hearts and help us, mighty God, to worship only you.
Oh.
Thank you tonight, oh God. And we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless the man of God, the one who
yes,
delivers
Lord.
The word
Yes,
tonight.
Lord.
Lord, we ask
Hallelujah.
That you continue to give him
oh,
clarity,
God.
Give him
Yes,
understanding,
Lord.
Oh God.
Jesus,
we ask, oh God, that you empower
Jesus,
him, oh God. We ask
Yes,
that you
Lord.
Put words in his mouth, oh God. And
Yes,
let that
Jesus.
word, oh God, illuminate our hearts as we
Yes,
listen
Lord.
And we discuss, oh God, and we share with one another
oh,
by
God.
the power of the Holy Spirit. We magnify
Yes,
you tonight, oh God. And we bless your name and we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, and help
Hallelujah,
us to live
Jesus.
In anticipation, oh God, for your
Yes, Lord.
return in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Lord, we magnify you tonight. And we commit, oh
Yes,
God,
mighty
those
God.
Who do not
Oh, God.
know you, oh God. We ask, mighty God, that you send someone across your path to
Yes.
minister the word to them in the name of
Of
Jesus.
Jesus.
Tonight, Lord God, we plead the blood of Jesus over their
Hallelujah.
spirit, soul, and body. We ask,
Hallelujah.
oh God, that you touch that part in their heart, oh God.
Yes,
And
Lord.
Help them, oh God, to heed to your word. Father, we thank you for
Hallelujah.
Each and every one tonight on the prayer line. We ask that you continue to unite our hearts as one as we discuss
Jesus.
Your word, oh God. And help us, Lord God, as those three men on the road to Emmaus, oh God. When you
Hallelujah.
Expound the word to them, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? So,
oh,
Lord
God.
God, as we study your word, help
yes.
our hearts to burn, oh God,
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
oh God, as
Jesus,
fire
Jesus.
From heaven, Lord God, just
Hallelujah.
burn within us.
Yes.
Mighty God,
Jesus.
Holy
Hallelujah,
Spirit,
Jesus.
We just look to you tonight. There's no one we can look to, oh God. We cannot look
Hallelujah.
To man, oh God, because man is a failure. But there's no failure in you. So we bless
yes.
your name tonight. We worship
yes,
you,
Lord.
Mighty God. We adore you and we thank you for whom you are in our lives. Thank you that we are
Hallelujah.
Jehovah God Almighty. You are El Elyon and the Most
yes,
High God.
Oh,
we
yes,
worship
Jesus.
You tonight, Adonai and Master of our lives. Lord, we praise you and we give you glory. And we ask tonight, oh God, if there's anyone on this line who do not know you as Lord and Savior, we ask tonight, oh God, that you touch such a one in
yes,
the mighty
Lord.
Name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And we plead the blood
yes,
of Jesus over
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And pray, Holy Spirit,
yes,
that you continue to bless, lead, guide, and direct. Continue to help us, Lord God, on this platform as we study your word, oh God. We ask, Lord God, we will know you more and that we'll grow in you and that we'll go for you in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
We speak life tonight, oh God, not death. In the name of
Jesus.
Those who are sick tonight, oh God, in body, we ask,
Hallelujah.
In your word right now.
Oh God.
Them, oh God, in a special way. Remember, Heather, Lord God, we
yes,
just
Lord.
Incur before you that pain, oh God, that is ramping our body every day. Mighty
oh,
God.
God,
we look to you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, God,
Hallelujah.
You have a time.
Hallelujah,
but right now, Lord God, we call upon you
yes,
because
Lord.
It's in your word we should call upon you and you will answer and you will be with us in trouble and you will deliver us. Lord, she's in trouble. She needs deliverance, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
He says, we just thank you tonight. Thank you,
Thank you,
Lord God. You said
Jesus.
in your word, if we are obedient, none of these diseases will come upon us. So, Lord God, we declare tonight
Hallelujah.
is obedient. Mighty God, whatever you promise to do, you will do in the name of
Name of
Jesus. So
Jesus.
touch her, oh God, from the crown of her head to the soles of her
Her
feet.
feet.
Knit her spine together.
Thank you,
Touch those
Jesus.
bones, mighty God. We speak to those bones right now, and we said, be still
Hallelujah.
in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus'
Glory
name.
to God. Have
Hallelujah.
your way tonight, Lord.
Glory
Yes,
to
Lord.
God.
Bless each and every one, Lord God. And as
Glory to
we
God.
go from here, Lord God, let us go with your presence.
Hallelujah.
Lord, our face is different tonight, oh God. So our need.
Hallelujah.
So Lord, we present every need before you tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you that you are
Amen.
faithful, God. And whatever you say you will do. So we
Yes,
thank you
Lord.
tonight for hearing us. And we are careful,
Jesus.
mighty God, to give you all the praise, to give you all the glory, to give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty
Jesus,
name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to
Amen.
you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.